It's been a while. It's so good to see all of you. Even a coronavirus can't keep us down, can they? We want to keep on going, and praise God for that. Always when I see you, my heart is filled with Mary. It is filled with joy, and I really appreciate seeing all of you here this evening. Matter of fact, we've had a 25% increase in attendance this Sunday from last Sunday. So that's pretty good. It's gone up 25%. So I'm really glad that you're here when you feel comfortable to be here. I think that's the important thing. This evening, we celebrate the solemnity of Pentecost. Now, what is Pentecost? Well, in a nutshell, Pentecost is the time when we celebrate the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the apostles, the other disciples who were with them, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, as they were gathered together in the upper room praying. Let us not forget the words of Jesus. Before he ascended into heaven, he said to this band of 120, he says, "Stay put." Now, there's some really important advice. He says, until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, you don't even want to venture out into this world until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit does so many good things for us. It increases our capacity to do good, to be loving, to be merciful, to excel in our lives, to be our best, to forgive others as the Lord forgave us, to share the good news of Jesus with others, to endure persecution and also suffering. So what a wonderful gift God has given to us. So let's talk a few minutes about Pentecost. First of all, a couple of basic primer questions. Why is it called Pentecost? That's the first question. I think that's a very legitimate question. Well, Pentecost is a Greek word that literally means 50th. That's what it means. It means a number. Or in Hebrew, the word is Shavuot, meaning weeks. It is a week of weeks. 7 times 7 plus 1 equals what? 50. That's exactly right. And it started out initially as a great festival. It was a time of great praise to God because the harvest had ended. And as a sign of a gesture of thanksgiving, it was a time of celebration to God and thanking him for all that had happened. Then it moved into something else. It moved into the 50th day from the time that the Israelites were delivered out of the bondage of Egypt, and they received the God's covenant on Mount Horeb. And so to celebrate the giving of God's covenant and God's law to the people was a very important time. As a matter of fact, if you were in Israel, you would have gotten a public holiday on last Friday, because last Friday was a public holiday for Passover. So once again, we see that intricate and how this wonderful celebration of God's covenant takes place. And then for the Christians, well, what about the Christian? Well, it's got to be 50, right? It's 50 days from the resurrection until the time that God sends his Spirit. He empowers. It's sort of like today is the end of Easter. Easter is an entire celebration. It's just one long celebration of the Mass as we celebrate all that God has done. So it's only appropriate that the last thing we would celebrate is the Holy Spirit, the receiving of the Holy Spirit, because what God did on that 50th day is he gave us the new Spirit, the new law, and he did not write it on tablets of stone, but where did he write it? Right here in our hearts. And what a wonderful, wonderful thought that is. Another question people often ask is, why is red emphasized? I'm wearing red. The altar cloth things are red like that. What does it mean? Well, red is one of the images that has to do with fire. Now, the Holy Spirit is called, there's many descriptions of the Holy Spirit in the Scripture, but this one has to do with fire. because as we heard in the reading just a moment ago, the Holy Spirit descended upon that 120 who were gathered in the upper room. Now, it's interesting because it was like one flame, and then as it came down to reflect, to communicate the centrality, the integration, the coming of one of all people into Christ, it splits. Sort of like they call it a cloven tongue in some of the old scriptures, like garlic. You know how you pull a clove off of garlic? Well, that's exactly what it's talking about, because a portion of it went here, 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 until it rested on all 120 of the people who were gathered in that upper room. See, that's the universality of the gospel. It is for everybody. Another thing, a question that we often ask is, well, what is the difference between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit? Have you ever heard the word Holy Ghost? Now, some of you are probably old enough, I know I am, to know, heard that many times. And some of the older scriptures that were translated used the word Holy Ghost instead of Spirit. But Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost are one in the same. What it has to do with is in recent years, ghost has taken on a meaning that we really don't want to connotate with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not like a ghost as we think today. So it was at that point that it was changed to the word Spirit. Now, a couple of deeper questions as we think about the receiving the Holy Spirit. First of all, who is the Holy Spirit? This is the mind-boggling question, actually. And it is a great mystery, to be sure. There is no doubt about it, because the Holy Spirit is the one and the same God. The Holy Spirit is God. God in the person of the Holy Spirit. As we heard just recently in Jesus' great commission in Matthew, he said, go and baptize people in the name of the Father and of the Son and what? The Holy Spirit. There you go. See, that is God. And that's a wonderful thing. Holy Spirit literally means the breath of God. Or another word that it means is the wind. It is the wind. But what you see in that is it's life producing. It produces life. It empowers you. I remember one time when I was working downtown with the airport authority. I always had the privilege of going to the daily mass at the cathedral, and I was sort of feeling a little down one day, and as I walked outside of the National City Tower, the wind just hit me, and it blew me all the way, all the blocks down to the cathedral. And as I thought about it, the more I thought about it, that's what the Holy Spirit is like. That's the power of the Spirit. And as it just picked me up. It just lifted me up and inspired me as I thought about that's the power of God working in your life, empowering you. What did Jesus say to his disciples? And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, I know a lot of today the emphasis is on spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, and that's very true. But in today's world, we need to hear about the power of the Holy Spirit working within us, because there are so many things that we are confronted with, that we have to deal with today. And it's God's power, it's God's Spirit that allows us and gives us the freedom, the power, the breath, the wind that we need in order to overcome these things and to trust in Him. The second thing is to realize that we desperately need the Holy Spirit in our lives. If you look at that first reading today in the Acts of the Apostles, when the Holy Spirit came down and rested upon them, there was great joy and exuberance in the faces of the disciples. And some people looking at them said, well, they've just had too much to drink. They've had too much wine to drink. It was the Pentecost. It was the celebration of the harvest. So there was probably a lot of wine that was circulating. But that's not what this was. This was 9 o'clock in the morning. It tells us exactly when the Holy Spirit came down. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. It was God who came through. That not wine that made them happy, but it was God, because now God is living on the inside. And Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And they did so many wonderful things. The third thing that's really important to remember as we think about the Holy Spirit is that we receive it when we are baptized. Now, prior to Pentecost, the Holy Spirit sort of came and went. If you look in the Old Testament, you find many examples of that, maybe for a specific mission or a purpose. Like, there was the story of Samson. It says that the Holy Spirit descended upon him, and he tore the lion literally apart with his bare hands. That's the power of God. We also read of David. We read of Saul as God's anointed one and the Spirit coming down upon them. But we also read, like in the case of Saul, where the Spirit departed and left him. So we have to remember Jesus has changed all that. And what a wonderful thought that is. And immediately, if you go on to read in the second book of Acts, this wonderful story, what happens? Peter begins to preach. He begins to talk about what it is that's happening, about this Holy Spirit. And what a great joy it is, because he begins to preach from the prophet Joel about God's prophecy of the coming of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And it says when they heard these words, they were cut to the quick and said, what must we do to be saved? And what did Peter say? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, and you will receive what? The Holy Spirit. Wow. So forgiveness of sins, baptism, and receiving the Holy Spirit. I can't overemphasize, and I know I talk about a lot, how important it is to be baptized, to receive the sacrament of baptism. And I'm really happy to tell you that starting tomorrow, this next month in June, we will resume celebrating the sacrament of baptism. And I really, really look forward to that. So I'd like to leave you with a thought for reflection this evening. If you're feeling powerless, why? Why would you be feeling that? Now, I know there's many things to be discouraged, but we need to take heart, because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside. Draw up on the great strength, the tremendous strength of the Holy Spirit within you to deal, to overcome our fears with the pandemic, or to end racial violence as we see on the television today, or the power of the Holy Spirit to guide the scientists in developing a new vaccine, to comfort us when we are sick, or to encourage us when we lose a loved one today, or when we're unemployed and we're looking for a job. See, the Holy Spirit is working in all of those things. God bless all of you.